Time now is 16:45. Khaim Retsi, let's talk all things business rescue and liquidation. What really is the difference? Again, according to Stats SA, there was a 34.6% increase in liquidations when compared to Jarelia last year, Mretsi. And most liquidations, they were voluntarily commenced. But around 10% were actually placed into liquidation by compulsory applications to court.
Of course. Mm. According to Lucinda Rudy, who's the director of dispute resolution from leading corporate and commercial law firm Cliff Dirk of Mayor, Uthi, the economy may be tough, but business rescue does not have to signal the beginning of the end. I guess she's on the line.
Let's dissect this.
Yes.
She's on the line. Lucinda, very good afternoon. Hi.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you for making time.
Thank you for making time indeed. How are you doing? Please greet our lovely Josie FM family members.
Hi, listeners. How are we doing? Well, it's a nice and sunny day in Cape Town, so we've got nothing to complain about.
We've got everything to complain about in Joburg. let's dive into it, Lucy. I mean, the difference, what is it between business rescue and liquidation?
Business rescue is aimed at rescuing a business that's in financial distress.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole purpose is a process that is followed with the appointment of a business rescue practitioner, and the aim ultimately is to bring that business back to factual insolvency and profitability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to rescue the business.
Nice.
Liquidation, on the other hand, is a process where a company effectively comes to an end and a liquidator is appointed to in an orderly fashion wind up the business of the company by collecting debt, selling assets, and paying creditors in accordance with the preference that is constituted by the act. So just comparing what I've said, business rescue is always preferable because it saves jobs if there is a reasonable prospect of saving the business and bringing it back to financial well-being.
Right. Mm. Maybe let's talk about business rescue and the processes there, Lucinda. Maybe what laws and regulations govern the business rescue process?
It is governed primarily by the Companies Act, the new Companies Act that was promulgated 2008, that introduced Chapter 6 that deals with all things business rescue. You need to read it in context with the old Companies Act, the 1973 Act, and then, of course, also the relevant provisions of the Insolvency Act. So those are your main sets of legislation. SIPC, is the company's intellectual office, they've got certain regulations and policies in regards to the appointment of business rescue practitioners, so one needs to have regard to their policies and regulations, but those are your main legislative enactments that is relevant.
Mm-hmm. Maybe let's chat then, talk to us about the legal process that makes business rescue a tool to avoid liquidation.
So what the Companies Act provides for, it has a very comprehensive definition of when a company is regarded mm-hmm. to be in financial distress,
mm-hmm.
and it makes the process actually very easy if companies act quickly enough. All it requires is a resolution to be adopted by the board of directors resolving that a company voluntarily commences business rescue. Then there's a couple of formal requirements, certain affidavits that needs to be filed. Everything needs to be submitted with SIPC, which is the mm-hmm. Companies and Intellectual Property Offices, our commission. And so it can be a fairly painless exercise to commence business rescue voluntarily, because in that resolution, one already appoints a business rescue practitioner for the process, and then the business rescue practitioner takes over and acts in accordance with his or her powers as provided in the Companies Act.
Right, because we're simply doing this to save your business, but not to destroy. Maybe highlight some of the basics of the business rescue process, Lucinda, and how business rescue practitioners operate within the process.
So I think the most important thing that one must always keep in mind is, what is the purpose of business rescue? It is to rescue a company. It is to try and return a company back to profitability and factual solvency. Therefore, the Companies Act Chapter 6 creates a framework within which the business rescue practitioner steps in. He almost becomes this super director that takes over the running of the business, and he has the power to do certain things, and he also has several benefits. And I think the most important benefit of a company going into business rescue is there is an immediate moratorium on all legal proceedings against the company. Nobody can enforce a debt without the consent of the business rescue practitioner or the court. Now, you can just imagine the breathing space that creates to a company under financial distress, not to have to stay off and starve off creditors knocking on the door, wanting to issue summons and attach goods. And then the second thing is, the Companies Act provides the business rescue practitioner with a lot of power to go and seek post-commencement finance, to get businesses, banks, lenders out there to invest in this business, to provide working capital to try and rescue this business. So all of that, and the business rescue practitioner has further very wide powers to deal with certain contracts that is in place. He can suspend certain obligations, negotiate better terms, all of that, while he or she works on a business rescue plan that will ultimately be provided to creditors to vote on.
Oh, lovely. Let's talk about early intervention. You know, how early intervention might mean, you know, the difference between, you know, life and death for a company.
You know, the one thing that it's always a very fine balance.
Yeah.
No board of directors ever want to admit that the business is failing.
Yeah.
And every board of directors has this false sense of optimism that we can rescue this business, we can survive, we can implement a cost restructuring and a restructuring. But the reality is that a board must have a very, very fine balance between this false optimism and realism, because the earlier a board steps in and considers or take legal advice on the possibility and the advantages of business rescue, the better. And one can think of various reasons. Firstly, the immediate benefit of the moratorium on legal proceedings. You get that done sooner rather than later, before judgments are being taken against the company. The more the healthier the business still is, the more attractive it may be to post-commencement financiers that will be willing to bet on this business going forward. And ultimately, the larger the prospects would be to successfully rescue this company, which may lead to saving more jobs.
Right. Okay. Listen, perhaps can you give us examples of how maybe a business rescue has worked for various South African businesses?
Well, I think one needs to look at I think the most recent success stories of business rescue would be Sterk Unicorn, and it would be Edcon. So, I mean, one can just read the articles in the press, the number of jobs that were ultimately saved, and the chance given to those two businesses to continue and to hopefully continue to operate on a very profitable and solvent basis.
Yeah. Lastly, before we let you go, can we quickly look at how the mining and manufacturing sectors can benefit from, you know, business rescue, and why this is important for the economy?
I think one needs to understand that, especially when you work in the mining sectors and the manufacturing sectors, it is huge enterprises.
Yeah.
Huge enterprises, both mining, manufacturing, sometimes smallish towns have been built surrounding these manufacturing plants. So the first benefit from a business rescue is it keeps the mines alive, it keeps the manufacturing sector alive while the business rescue practitioner goes in there and tries to rescue the business. It is such a huge enterprise that just to close it down has not only an impact on the direct employees, but sometimes their surrounding towns, families that the whole families that are employed by these sectors.
Yeah.
So the benefit not only for the companies in the mining and the manufacturing sector that has the potential to be rescued, but ultimately the jobs that can be saved, the larger communities that have been built around these sectors, and ultimately the South African economy.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Listen, so Rudy,
income being placed back into that. Sorry.
No, it's all right, madam. It's all right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Listen, Rudy, Director of Dispute Resolution from leading corporate and commercial law firm Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Lucinda, before we let you go, is there a website that one can go to for more information and just to learn more about this topic today?
Yes, of course. You can visit our website at cliffdeckerhofmeyr.com. We've got a lot of alerted articles that's being published on a daily basis on this sector and other legal service offerings that Cliff Decker Hofmeyr.
Lovely. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for your time and good afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. 4 minutes now to 4.